It's going down, and you're invited for what they selling. We ain't buying, there is no running, there is no hiding, there's only fighting or dying. It's going down, and you're invited for what they selling. We ain't buying, there is no running, there is no hiding, there's only fighting or dying.
It's Going Down is a digital community center from anarchist, anti-fascist, autonomous, anti-capitalist, and anti-colonial movements. Our mission is to provide an autonomous and resilient platform to publicize and promote revolutionary theory and action.
Go to itsgoingdown.org for daily updates. Check out our online store for ways to donate and rate and follow us on iTunes if you like this podcast.
What follows is an interview with several residents at the Wood Street Commons, which is a long-going self-organized community located in West Oakland. It's been the site of ongoing protests, demonstrations, and ongoing legal battles in an attempt to stop the city of Oakland and Caltrans from evicting people living in the area. In the last several weeks, the city of Oakland has stated that they will begin evictions as early as January 9th. However, that may change. There's some people saying that they will only come in and do trash removal on the 9th of January, and that the eviction may be pushed back. By the time that you hear this, that day itself may have changed. Residents are calling on supporters to come out on January 9th and support Wood Street residents no matter what happens. And we encourage you, if you're in the area, if you're listening and you want to get involved, to check the show notes for ways to stay up on what's happening at the Wood Street Commons and support residents there that are fighting to preserve autonomy and their community. Thanks for listening.
Good afternoon. My name is Moose, and I've been a resident here at Wood Street for a little over 2 years. I've been associated with the area for about 5. I grew up in Oakland and Berkeley, so I'm a Bay Area native. I've been unhoused for, I would say, maybe the last 7-8 years on and off. And I found this to be the most permanent place that I found in those last 10 years.
I'm Theo Cedar Jones of the Wood Street community, and I've been living here for about 2 years. And I'm an East Bay native, and I find this to be the most permanent and innovative community addressing an intersection of issues pertaining to so-called homelessness.
My name's Jazz. I've been living in Wood Street for a little over a year, and I've been in East Bay transplant for about almost 2 years now.
Just to kind of start us off, and we'll kind of get into like the history in a second, but what do like the mainstream media get wrong about what's going on in the streets of the Bay Area around, you know, the housing crisis, houselessness? What's really happening as you see it?
Say that we're not homeless, we're landless, for one thing, and that the idea that marketplace housing will ever be a solution is not right. That what I found here that I value more than anything is cooperative community and the possibility that public land will be a resource for all who need it to live in a village type of community style lifestyle. Tiny home eco village is my preference, and we've been a laboratory for what works and what doesn't work. I think maybe we've gotten further than any movement of this kind, and that getting off the curb, off the street, and onto areas of dirt, land, gives us a reconnection with the human tradition of living outside on the land, which is most of human history. And once I started doing this, I realized it fills a need that was deep within me all this time, and I will never go back to a conventional suburban or apartment or any kind of residence that keeps people isolated and is overpriced, mediated by cars. You know, here I don't even have to go off the property sometimes and even drive on the streets. I can just be in the village. And it's such an important satisfaction of my need for a community.
this is Moose. And for myself, I found several years ago that when I first, I guess, didn't have a place to live and started finding myself outdoors more often and finding a place where I could you know, kind of settled for some amount of time, I realized that the people I was surrounding with were like-minded. I mean, there were people who shared the same politics as me and people who kind of had the same vision as I had. And I really hadn't been exposed to very much of that. I always kind of felt like an outsider, you know, in schools or jobs and, you know, different mainstream avenues, I guess you could say. And I was hard-pressed to find people that shared my opinions or perspectives. And I think, unfortunately, one of the reasons is because many of the people who are out here are victims of, you know, the current system that is dictating to people how and where to live and what they should be doing. So I've kind of been out here, not just because I like being, you know, out here, also because I don't like the stigma and the stereotypes that are associated with people who, you know, happen to be on the fringe or borderline or you know, living a different lifestyle or a different place or way. Whatever it is, there are certain things that people should still have, and, you know, like dignity and respect and, you know, support, community, all of those things should come with just being a human being. And I believe that out here I find that a lot, and I've been spending more of my time fighting for that and making sure that, you know, the ends are met, basically.
Yes. To jump in on both of those, yeah, we're living in a world right now that doesn't really favor folks that have other folks' best interest in mind. Right now, we're sort of, the way the system is set up right now is a profit-based system, and it's very isolating. It's very much like you're kind of on your own. You have to be a little bit of a snake to get ahead a lot of the time. And like, when you have folks that aren't compatible with that, or just from the way the system is set up, from the long history of imperialism and capitalism, just weren't even integrated into that system in the first place. You have communities of folks that have been marginalized and disenfranchised over the years, and that have sort of a core value of community, but also have been forced into circumstances of community, because in order to survive out here, you need to depend on each other. Yes. You need to make connections with other people. You need to be able to build strong interpersonal bonds.
Yes.
Just to make sure you're okay and the folks around you are okay. And one of the things that I think the mass media doesn't really touch on very much, or if at all, is the way that the system does perpetuate this situation, not only in just the way it's inherently set up, but in, like, they've talked about Caltrans evictions, kind of, but they don't call them that. They call them cleanings. But I've barely ever seen media touch on, like, the city cleanings or the city closures,
yes,
as they call them, that happen every day of the week.
Yes.
And that they are literally just pushing people around, even regardless of whether or not there's shelter available, or if the shelter they're offering is shelter that folks would choose because it's not even better than what they've already created for themselves.
That's right.
But they still continue to displace people and take what little they do have and then set them back on square one.
Yep.
And act like they're helping.
Right.
And the media doesn't talk about that at all.
It seems like, especially after the George Floyd rebellion, there was this kind of right-wing push, especially around San Francisco, to like demonize houseless people, encampments. Have you seen like an increase in attacks from, you know, local government police on houseless people over the past year or so, or has it just been basically about the same?
Yeah, I've seen a lot of more aggressive and more police-induced tactics recently. I mean, I've only been doing volunteer suit defense work for a little over a year, like a year and a half about now, and in the time that I've been out doing it, it's been like a steady flow of like escalatory, like you have DPW workers who are put in the positions of to be cops, to,
yeah,
be social workers,
right,
to be city administrators.
Yes.
When literally their job is to pick up trash, and the city has them as like the enforcers in this situation, like taking people's belongings, tearing,
yes,
down homes, sometimes,
yes,
when people are still inside.
That's
them,
right.
And literally we've had instances, several instances of police violence, where one of which was they had tore down a resident's entire home and taken more than half of his belongings, and he spit in anger at this happening without his consent and without having giving him a place to go. And they had several, like five or six police tackle and tase him because he spat in the general direction of one of the workers, and they called it assault. It feels like cruel and unusual punishment when you've just literally destroyed all that someone has and expect them not to feel a certain type of way about that. And I've literally seen DPW supervisors harass and bully people out of their thing, even though they're standing within their own rights to be like, no, that's not trash. That belongs to me. You haven't offered me a place to go that is adequate enough for me to consider self-relocating or giving up any of my stuff to go there. And the fact that they expect people to give up their belongings in order to move into these shelters is also an atrocity. They're literally stealing. It's theft at the bottom, at the end of the day.
Yes.
And like, I've seen multiple residents get pushed to the point of like anxiety to panic attack levels of stress.
Yes.
Because of the way the supervisors are conducting themselves and continue to harass them and bully them in the same ways and won't give them space when they say, look, I'm trying to work with you. Just give me space and give me the time I need to do it.
Right.
Like, cause they want to show that they've made progress. Cause that's what their supervisors want to see at the end of the day. They want to see them gone. They want to see people, the things that were there, not there anymore. And if that isn't done, then their supervisors will get upset. So it sort of prevents them from engaging with people with any form of humanity or consideration, because literally the end goal at the end of the day is make these people that are here not here anymore at whatever cost.
Yes.
My name is Lamonte, and I personally experienced some of the police abuse of the abuse of their authority. I was one of the ones that I felt the push and pull when they first started with it. And they came with a convoy. They told us at that time they didn't even give us 3 days. We had to leave that day. And you know, I really didn't know too many people except for the little group that I was with. And I was holding on to this bag with my whole life. This is all I have, is this one bag. They've already put everything else that I had into the chipper. And so in this bag was my ID. It was socks, you know, things of my personal that I needed, right? I needed, if wherever I was going to go from there, I needed the bag. And the bag was stripped out of my hands and thrown into one of the police officers' cars. And they drove off the last car from Caltrans, said, have a nice day.
Oh.
And it, all I could do was cry. I mean, I was so upset. All I can do is just sit there and cry. They didn't have anywhere for me to go. So what's changed from then to now is that they have a place, so they say, for us. But as soon as we hit that environment, we lose us.
Yes.
We are victimized by the security guards that are there. We can't freely move in and out.
Right.
So, it's not slowed down. It's just changed. It's like racism went from KKK members to now the PIN. So that's how I equate it.
They
now we white trash are targeted too.
I'm not talking about that.
they offer a 6x9 shed, you know, with a roommate. I mean, it's not a far stretch from a cell, you know, in that sense. You know, you're denied visitors, and you have a curfew, and
yep.
You have scheduled meals of peanut butter and bologna. I mean, it's really...
Yeah, what does that sound like?
It's
hard not to draw the parallels, you know?
And jobs and work that we develop for ourselves. Our small businesses are stripped from us. Our art and our culture that we make, including live music stages, are stripped from us. We build these things for ourselves and our community, and they steal them.
We spend our money on some of this stuff, too.
Yes.
And it was one cop told me, after he picketed me, this is my second go-around. I've gotten an RV from one of my old residents. She saw me and bought me an RV, a nice one. He ticketed me. He took everything that was around the RV and told me, if you don't want this to continue, why don't you just leave? And I said, what do you mean, the street? He goes, no, just leave open. And I'm like, what? why don't you leave? Where are you from? You know, and these occurrences continue to this day. We're just lucky enough to be in the space that we are in, not to see them as much. But during the eviction times, it's pretty apparent that they are the political powers. They're the bully, the elephant in the room. They are the largest group, and we have to listen to them no matter what. I don't know what we need to do, but something has to be done because it's getting worse, not better.
For those that are not in the area, have never heard of Wood Street, tell us about it and where did it come from and when did it kind of start?
Wood Street happened organically. 8 years ago, there were two people here on this end, and just folks, as they got displaced, would come here. And from day one, we've always, like, cleaned up and, you know, made it an environment that people would come and visit with us. I mean, like, that was like us. It's really important to be able to have that environment for someone that's suffering as well as you. I mean, that's why AA works, you know. The police officer, OPD, was sending us down here with amnesty.
Yeah.
If we came to Wood Street, we'd be okay. And to be honest with you, up until a few years ago, they hadn't bothered us at all, unless it was in the commission of a crime. And then we got organized. We had a lot of volunteers come by and strengthen us.
Yeah.
And Theo and I started these meetings, and for a while, no one would come. And it's amazing how just those seeds, those preliminary seeds, have enacted what is here now. And, you know, I foresee it getting even better in the future.
Yes.
If the city gets behind things like this, you know, sites like this, if they funnel the resources, the blight wouldn't be there. If they
yes.
funnel the resources, the neighbors would be welcoming toward us, not opposed to us. So that's my take. And, you know, it's community, no matter what it is, whatever it looks
yeah.
like. Wood Street is a community.
You know, from my experiences in, for example, some other Caltrans, let's say, controlled areas, they would come and we would go to the other side of the street, and they would come with their, you know, like something that looked like a Zamboni, you know?
Yeah, right.
A giant lawnmower or something,
mm-hmm,
you know?
Mm-hmm.
And they'd, you know, move a couple things around and drink a lot of coffee and we'd, I don't know, sit in their cars a lot. But basically, when they were done, we'd move all our things back to the other side. And it was just kind of like a, you know, a reminder, like, you know, any day or any time, this could be permanent, you know? So just attitude that they had with us. And, there was a point where they even came once and told us that they were doing both sides of the street.
Right, I remember that.
Yeah, and they told us that they would take our things for us and they would store them for us at the Berkeley City Jail or the police
right,
station is what
right.
they said. And so they proceeded to just take our things aimlessly with no organization or manner about it and just throw them in dumpsters and drive away with them. And I'm thinking,
well, put them in their personal
how am I
going to
pick my things out and everything else? It's, man, there's garbage going in there, too. And, you know, I followed up on it. I went to the police department, and I asked them, you know, where our things were being stored, you know, and how I could reclaim them. And they told us that they didn't know such thing, that they don't store people's belongings at the police department. And, you know, it's not a Greyhound station it's related to or something like that. And I began to realize that it was just... The whole thing was just a big farce, man. Like, they were there, you know.
The garbage was still left
yeah,
there.
Just taking our stuff.
Yeah, right.
And then, you know, they later filed a lawsuit against some of those behaviors. I guess it had been going on in other areas with similar stories behind them that, you know, we're just going to take your stuff and you'll get it back, or just don't worry, we'll just take your stuff kind of thing. And we just let them do it.
They're still doing it.
They're
you know what I mean?
It. They're still
and it's
that.
Because, you know, we're already feel marginalized and a little bit intimidated, and these guys are coming, you know, out of prison. It's a volunteer job to, like, you know, be put against that. You know, it's weird, like, how they pit people against each other, you know.
Yes.
We really should be on the same side
right.
of this. But they, you know, they haven't being aggressors and posing us as the enemy. So
what's worse is, they do it in lieu of or under the veil of a deep cleaning.
Yeah.
And usually what happens is it looks worse than it did before they got there. That's the crime. That they leave all the garbage, they just move the people and take their stuff.
Yep.
One of those encounters, they were actually putting our personal belongings into their personal cars.
Yes.
And I'm like, wait a minute, that's mine, man. You're just going to steal my stuff? The hell, man. So, yeah.
And even... they had performed a bulldozing of some properties. I say properties, but they were homes that were built by a group called Artist Building Communities, and they built tiny home structures, and they provide a deed and instructions if the people decide to move or just to have some type of permanency or structure that would last. You know, that you can put your things inside and keep.
Yes, lock the door.
Right, and so. I guess it was in an area that Caltrans was inducting into one of its phases of restoration or cleaning. And the reason they gave was blight, that it was unsightly or something to be underneath the freeway with a house, I guess, is, they didn't want to see. But at any rate, they had people sign off illegally, from what I understand, on their deeds. And they were bribed or extorted, and they were told that on a certain day, the homes would be demolished. Well, we were gonna, we were gonna move them, since that would have been within the right to remove the blight, take the actual homes that were built and relocate them. And, before we had a chance to, the night before the deadline, they came and they bulldozed them. And we sat here and watched them do it. And there was no one from Caltrans there. They had subcontracted another company to do it, so
yeah.
It was impossible to reach any type of supervisor. And everyone was just saying, "Hey, we're not even from Caltrans. We represent this company, and we represent that company, and we're a disposal company, and we're this." And there was no one who had any idea what was going on, and there was no one to voice a complaint or non-judicious activity to. So
a lot of money went toward those tiny homes.
Yeah,
and labor.
Yeah, right.
And love.
Instead of them spending all the money on this push and pull of folk, like all the money that was given to the city to help remediate the homeless, a third of it went toward evicting and pushing and pulling people. I mean, we paid, if the money was for us, we essentially paid to be evicted from our environments.
There's almost a trend to keep people from having any type of organization or progress or unity or stance. I mean, just telling people that, they have the right to be somewhere is, when I asked the people that we spoke with from the city governments and things, I asked them, well, what exactly are our rights? They were never explained, like, do we have a right to be here or there, or how does, I would state, I guess one of the landmark cases of being displaced, and they would say, "Oh, we don't know," and they can't discuss it. I mean, it's supposed to be common knowledge, right? I mean, they're our representatives; they're supposed to know our rights or not. So there's always a mystery or a shroud as to what they can and can't do, because they will do what they can, whether they are supposed to or not. Yeah,
and they were making blank promises. We have a spot for you.
Yeah.
And then they would put them in a spot, and that spot would expire in 3 days, and it was all a ploy just to get them displaced and that area cleaned up so that they can put these pillars of concrete in place of the people, or inanimate trees in place of the people, which is a slap in my face, because I'm alive, and you mean to tell me that these concrete pillars have more stock, more rights than I do? If they're not doing it right, I think what the city should have done first is tell them how to do it right, instead of displacing them. Make guidelines. It would have saved a lot of money. Still will.
So just to be clear, for those that may be listening that are outside of the area, Caltrans is are in charge of managing like the land around like freeways and stuff like that. Wood Street, the place that we're talking about, is on Caltrans land. Is that correct?
Part of it.
No, not currently. Currently, we're on city's property.
Yeah.
But we had our brothers and sisters that were on Caltrans land. Some in the number of about 300 people were displaced from Caltrans property, and we still remain only because we're on city property, and they're not sure what to do with us as of yet.
But the deep thing is coming up.
Yeah, right.
I've never seen a situation where people in our situation have so much space. And in that space, I've seen people do all kinds of enterprise, whether it's construction, electronics repair, and in my case, finding a way to have a music culture. Because in the marketplace, rock bands were being squeezed to the point of not having any livelihood. Here, I would have had an opportunity to work with other artists, painters, musicians. I even got to create an entire camp or a compound dedicated to art and music. People could drop in 24 hours a day and play live drums, piano, guitars, and have a vocal PA. And it was the most freeing part of my life as an artist. And then Caltrans and Burlington Northern came with their bulldozers, and they smashed it, and they tried to destroy a grand piano with an excavator. Well, it still plays. We're going to recover that. But they wanted to destroy that essence of our ability to have space enough to do our arts, our crafts, our work, our labor, and our community. I built a pavilion here for gathering space, and there's so much I want to do for the people, and without that space of land, I cannot do it.
There's a place in Sacramento called Loaves and Fishes, and I see this environment being like that. But back to the Wood Street that has been displaced. These people, first of all, let's be honest here. They were sent here by OPD with amnesty. So this is the first place that they were able to, in their minds, sit, rest with comfortability that they were okay to be there.
Yep.
So, you know, they tried to solidify their stay here. They made it comfortable. They made tiny homes and different types of structures, commerce.
Yes.
And... Well, all of that was stripped from them violently. It wasn't a nice encounter. It never is with them. They come as bullies. They come with either threatening for jail or even sometimes physical violence.
Yes.
Well, I'm sorry. My name is Jade Harper, and I'm just chiming in. I want to answer your question that you actually asked, and that is because we've been down here so long, so many years. Myself, 7, 8 years, we've built our own community so that we don't have to go out to the normal, in quotation marks, society. So, we, along with volunteers, built what we used to call Cavon Wood, and that had a kitchen, a community kitchen that, myself, I stopped multiple days out of the week with donations from around the area. And then, you know, we kept it volunteers with, folks and neighbors, whoever would donate dishes and pots and pans for us to use. We would have community gatherings there. We would have a weekly dinner amongst ourselves. We had a cob oven built from volunteers. So we would have pizza sometimes with community dinners. We also had a free store because folks are so scared to stop and talk to us. They go 90 miles an hour down Wood Street like we're aliens or something. So and so sometimes people would just drop bags of clothes or donations. And to us, it looks like garbage. To anybody else, it looks like garbage. But we actually created a space for them to bring their donations so that they could get, you know, given out or people can take as they need. So we had a free store there. And we also, while Oakland is paying and giving donations for all of these community gardens to be built, they knocked our garden down. We had a full garden with vegetables that we harvested and cooked. We had flowers and also like a fire pit also was there so that some of us could gather at night and keep warm in a safe, healthy way. Along with, you know, my peers and my family down here, you know, we have mechanics. So there's like, you know, the Pumpkins Mechanic Shop, or we have, you know, Tone's Bike Shop down here. So, I mean, it's not like an official business with a business license, but it's definitely a business that's generating, you know, money that helps him. And also, it's not as expensive as going to one of these epi bike shops. We still get the help that we need, and we've actually built the community down here so that we don't have to lean on folks outside of our community. And also so that we don't have to be looked down on. I mean, we go into Target, they look at us like we're Goombas or something, you know? And it's like we're spending our money here too, just like everybody else. In every social, economic level of people, there are bad seeds. But why do we always have to get, you know, the front end? Our couple of bad seeds just, you know, that's what we all are.
Yeah.
But you could be, you know, a rich person and be a bad seed, but that doesn't, you know, necessarily define who the rest of the rich people are. So I just, I mean, we all know that, but it's just,
Also, one of the reasons why, you know, we often collide with Caltrans, for example, is because the jurisdiction of law enforcement in the city kind of ends in these fringes, you know, by the highways or at the end of the warehouses or where there's a dead end in the field. And all of those kind of fringe areas are where, you know, it might be unincorporated or there are areas that are surrounding railroad tracks and they're a different jurisdiction. So the police, on one hand, the police are kind of like shoving people into those areas so that they're like out of sight, out of mind almost. And also the people feel more comfortable in an area where they're not constantly being harassed or questioned or receiving like 3 or 4 days in county jail and coming out on probation and then open and susceptible to illegal searches constantly and stopped because they're on probation.
Right.
I mean, there comes a point where, you know, it's just difficult to be stationary in a place. And so constantly being tumbled around, you wind up down here, right, at the bottom of the hill. And there were so many people, and like Lijay was saying, a substantial amount of space, you know, within Caltrans area and the bordering fringes of the Oakland city, that we started finding ways that we could actually support each other and support ourselves. We built shower systems, solar shower systems. We had, you know, they would even people with donations, they would bring food that needs to be refrigerated. When's the last time someone refrigerated their car or their tent? You know what I mean? It's kind of difficult. So we have, you know, a refrigeration system or a storage system where we can keep goods together and people can come and grab things daily from donations that are given, which otherwise would have spoiled or sat in someone's backpack for 2 weeks. You know what I mean? Like, it's just ways that aren't considered when they're channeling resources, you know, and especially when people are being displaced constantly and thrown in and out of city and county jails, collecting a rap sheet of like nonsense offenses that are selectively enforceable. And then they make new legislation that says you can't do this and you can't do that. And mainly they're targeting the lifestyles and behaviors of people who don't have a place to live and who are maybe living in their cars or finding structures or something out to live and need a generator or something. Now they're targeting all of those means of comfort and sustainability. Water. You can't have a certain amount of water.
You can't be by the park.
I mean, so really, they're selectively enforceable so that at any moment they can choose who they want to, you know, remove for the moment or penalize for the moment. And down here at Wood Street, you know, I don't want to say they created the monster, but they created the beauty.
You know what I mean?
They created something inadvertently. They put us all here and we created something beautiful out of it.
Yes.
There's places, you know, like I feel comfortable walking around here and I know like no one's going to look at me leeringly or, you know, like move to the other side of the street or something. You know, it's just like, you know, we have our ambitions and we have our faults and we have our problems and we have to face them, and we do with each other every day. We don't shun people. You know, it's like, you know, we work it out and we figure it out.
We're an informal social service agency,
and that's the unspoken profit that we lend to society that's not spoken about. We are like the front line of defense for what it's like to be downtrodden.
Yep.
People come to us for all sorts of things, and we're never closed.
Never closed.
If we were closed, some of these people were in dire straits and talking violently.
Yes.
And not only were we able to calm them down for themselves, but we were able to keep them, and now they're doing the same thing for the next person that comes in that same predicament. Our profits would be minimizing crime. It yep. would be changing the rate that people return to jail.
Yes.
They have a place to go, a productive place to be. They tend not to want to go out and meander. You know, they say idle time is the devil's workplace. Well, there's no idle time here. There's always something to do here.
Yes.
Let it all begin. Let it all out through the pores of your skin. Never hold back, never pause, never flinch. Believe me, we know the cause of your pinch. Don't mind that, now be boys with revenge. Two-step, never half-step. True skills, never gone, never have left. Can't laugh at the craft that you mastered. Do your thing with your bad self. We see it clear, don't a panorama. To better my status, I will battle rappers. Now I battle for freedom in another chapter. Ask yourself, what would you rather, man?
The powers that be, feel the power moving. They fear our unity.
Pojawia się pierwszy dźwięk. Wtedy znika we mnie cały lęk. Tylko bang bang, serce szybciej bije. Krew płynie, stres leci jeb na łeb, na szyję. Czuję, że żyję, zdrowa rywalizacja. Przeciwnikowi nie idzie czas na kontratak. Parkietu zlatam, ze mną moja rodzina. Czekaliśmy na to lata, pora na finał.
Come on, get your groove on.
Go, go, go.
Come on, put your song.
Go, go, go.
Shoes on.
Shut us down, 'cause me and my friends, we just wanna dance, yeah.
Hey, B-boys and B-girls, graffiti writers, DJs, MCs and teachers,
yeah, yeah, yeah.
Raise your wings, don't hold back and just do your thing.
What's been happening at Wood Street since the evictions in September and October?
They're on the streets now, and they're subject to having their homes removed. All of them have just been posted, and they're around the parks. They're around the parks for a good reason. Water's at the park.
Yes.
It's an environment that's open. You know, this nature. Fortunately, this park doesn't get a lot of children, so they're a little more comfortable here. But they're still subject to being evicted from their own homes. There's lots that are here that are occupied, well, that are owned by the city, and they are already in talks and designated for us, but we're unable to move the mobile homes that are currently on the street that just got posted.
That's one of the things that kind of got swept under the rug. Is the first line of attack against the residents here was they swept and they came by all the vehicles that were inside or they were in the perimeter, and they tagged them A or S, mm-hmm. abandoned or stolen, abandoned mm-hmm. or stolen. There wasn't a vehicle that wasn't tagged, and there wasn't a vehicle that wasn't tagged with an A or S. You couldn't, there, it seems like even if you had your vehicle registered or if it was somebody else, if it was here, it was getting an A and S. And you know, dozens of people's vehicles were illegally moved or illegally seized, you know, their belongings and things. I mean, that was the first strike, and it was, people didn't know what was going on, you know, and then before you knew it, the vehicles were all gone, and then now that was the first leg that got swept, you know. Now we're kind of taking off balance, and from there, you know, the phases or whatever, but yeah, the thing with the vehicles was big because, I mean,
they stole my vehicle.
Yeah,
they put an A on my vehicle that was purchased.
Abandoned.
Abandoned. I was at work.
Abandoned.
I paid for my vehicle. And they put it in another section. I did. They put it in another section back here. And so I went to go try to claim my car because it's not abandoned. It's my car. And someone set it on fire. The whole lot of cars that had A on there, which was abandoned, but in question, like, it belonged to somebody. They just didn't know who. So they put all of those in another section back here on Wood Street and fenced it off. Well, that whole area since then has been burned up, so I have no accountability for my vehicle that I paid my money
for. Yeah, actually, someone drove their vehicle up to help someone move some of their stuff during the Caltrans eviction. Left the car running when they got out of the car, and while the car was running, one of the Caltrans people came up with spray paint and put an A on it for a man.
Oh, wow.
Like, a running car, clearly abandoned vehicle.
Wow.
Yeah, and just one other thing. I mean, Caltrans have been practicing all kinds of safety hazards of putting flammable materials and abandoned autos, which are the main source of people like setting fires to cars in an arson situation, and putting them under the freeway, against the freeway, where they could contribute to more fires. And we were evicted solely on the basis of fire, which we did not start. And so we've been fraudulently railroaded into being evicted over the issue of fire without having a chance to defend ourselves in court in a proper due process. So, and then they, Caltrans actually caused the Amtrak train to crash next to our Cobb on Wood Village.
Mm-hmm.
And we have a documentation and proof. They are practicing severe safety hazards.
They sprayed some of the residents here with pesticides. When we speak about Caltrans, we automatically tense up, because every time I hear
beep,
a bell,
beep,
every time
beep.
I hear that, I'm cringing, because what's next? I have to go now. So I try to keep like a bag that I will not let them take this time of, you know, essential things that I'm going to need to wherever I'm going to go. But if they would slow down their machine, they can find the solution right here. We have the solution.
We have the solution. We have the best so far in God's planet.
You know, they set up that, a group of people that were supposed to be monitoring, or a task force of some sort, like a homeless task force.
Mm-hmm.
And they're being allotted this amount of money that's supposed to be going into solving homelessness. And we spoke to, I guess it was, Dan that told us about? Anyway, we found out that their sole purpose is to keep track of complaints made to police or fire departments about encampment. And they don't keep track of any progress or of any, of any help or of any solutions that are coming up, or you know, anything that's happening that's positive. But they are keeping track of all of the times people call and say, oh, this is happening or that's happening. And that's what's being presented. It's just an example of kind of the bias and the slant that's being recorded or being taken account of, you know, is just those notices. So much so that they've created a task force to keep track of.
And let's be clear, these sites that they're opening, they're not producing any numbers as far as permanent housing, mental wellness. There's no wraparound services at these locations. Food, even, are not present in these environments. So we're doing better for ourselves than these other government and city encampments are.
And the city has been found to be $69 million missing. They were supposed to spend on the homeless, and they can't account for how many shelter beds that created or how much permanent housing. The accounting is not there, and the possibilities for corruption seem to be strong.
What are some of the people in power saying is the solutions they're offering, and what is your response to that?
In this day and age, you know, we've done a little bit of research as to what other solutions are being posed in different communities in different states across the country and even in other countries, and there are really creative and progressive, you know, designs for homes and for you know, areas to be used properly. Instead of what we have offered to us is a tough shed from Home Depot that is made of plastic, and you have, you know,
3 feet apart.
3 feet apart with
two people in it.
And you're wondering, you know, where all this funding is going. You know, like if the numbers are staying the same and they keep dumping funds into it, you know, it's getting lost in the grind somewhere, because it sure isn't showing up out here.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not even, you know, it's not even like luxury accommodations, you know, that people are asking for, or like, you know, this huge like plot of land. It's just, you know, something that's within
the reason, I mean, people could even be hired to build them or to you know, produce or involved in the process. It's just, there's such a disconnect from the channeling of the money and where it's supposed to be ending up doing any good. I mean, it's really, we make everything here out of recycled stuff. You know, I mean, we're grabbing like pallets and cardboard and we're making structures, you know, and if we can do that on what people throw away, I can't imagine what they could do if they were actually spending the money properly.
Those environments breed enableability. That's what they do. We can take care of ourselves. When I say that, what I mean is when you go to these environments, you have to first downsize. There are certain items that you cannot take into these facilities, such as a generator. Some of these facilities only have enough power to maybe charge a light or a phone. It makes us have to rely on them for everything. At least out here, you know, we actually have to have some action in order to be here.
Right.
You can't just be here. You have to do something. Even if you're not a part of, like, the whole of the movement, individually you have to do something in order to meet your means.
Yeah. Hustle.
Right. Yeah. Jay has a snack shack.
Yes.
And I think, regardless of people's goals or plans or ultimate, you know, destination or where they're trying to go and what they're trying to do, if you find yourself in a situation where you can't find a place to live or a place to lay down, or if you lose your job, or if you're new to the country, or if you're just out of jail, or if you're a single parent, or if you've been kicked out of the house,
victim
or if you have
abuse.
An issue with, you know, drugs or alcohol, if you have anything that is affecting your ability to fit into your community, and you end up out here, which is I've been seeing more and more everywhere, then you shouldn't have to suffer. You know, you shouldn't have to be, you know, close to pneumonia. You shouldn't have to be dirty. You know what I mean? You shouldn't have to be have dirty hands or feel like, you know, you're less than what you are, less than human. You know, like, or that you don't deserve certain things that everyone deserves as a human being. Like I said, dignity and respect, and somewhere where you can go and not feel like, you know, you didn't make it, or that you're not enough, or that, you know, there's something wrong with you. You know, plenty of people are falling into those traps, and what we are doing here is just providing, you know, a sanctity, you know, a place to be okay while you're working through that, or wherever you want to go. If you want to stay and help others, stay and help others. If you want to eventually get a 5-bedroom apartment somewhere for you and your one child, that's fine. You can do that too, you know. But in the meantime, you know, there's a lot of suffering out here, man. These nights are cold, and people's shoulders are too.
Yeah.
And we're just, you know, trying to help people out while they figure out, help each other out too, while we figure out what's going on. Because it's not just here. You know, look it up, like I said, online, and it's all over the place.
All over the country, all over the world.
I found life out here. I came out here to commit suicide. And instead of that, I found camaraderie. I found a new lease of life.
Mm-hmm.
I found a reason to live.
Yeah.
And I found confidence in these environments. And I've been in several of these environments. And they're cool until the bully comes through and uproots it, and we have to start all over again. Each time the closure happens, we lose so much, we have to accumulate what we need in order to survive all over again. I probably bought a drill over 100 times, a hammer over 100 times, because it's been stolen or destroyed, taken away from
right.
me. When I'm already downtrodden, I'm already feeling like I'm in the pit of my despair, I'm already ready to jump off the bridge, and the only thing that's going to keep me alive is this environment. And that's what it's done. That's what it means to me.
With that kind of in mind, let's talk about what happens now. Where is the movement at? Where are you all at? What do you see happening in the coming terrain?
Speak to that. I'm Theo, and I'm interested in pursuing a legal approach, because I've been forced into making my own lawsuit against Caltrans. And I'm finding that I find the law process to be the way forward for me to help myself and others here, because I don't think we've really exercised our constitutional rights for this situation. And I foresee a good, positive outcome, because we've gotten organized to the level that we're never going to give up certain things that we've built together. And one of those is that we have good grounds for reclaiming public land in a land trust for the use of making a residential permanent situation for our community. And public land in the United States is constitutionally protected in a unique way, which I'm only now discovering, that there's almost a sense that we have a sacred bond to the land by being born in this country. And public land is something that is under the stewardship of the city government, the county, and the state, or the federal. But for what purpose? Is it just to be there for speculation, or to be abandoned and never used? Or is it for us, we the people, to fully exercise our rights to create the community that we wish? And I do see a path forward. I'm not at liberty to disclose the details, but there are legal avenues for us that have not yet been pursued that I believe, in the long run, we're going to create a new quality of life that is based on, I think, the commons tradition in Europe, where people would agree amongst themselves, how do we administer this land together? And it's not for the government to hoard our public land. Stop, pilot, for what?
You're just holding it.
Holding it. Beautiful spots all over West Oakland. It make me cry because I know what we could do with that.
They're perpetuating the problem only to save face, to save their ego. If they were to invest in an environment like this, and it were to succeed, it would be a slap in their face. So they're going to fight it tooth and nail. But we're going to toe the line. We're going to fist the cuff. We're going to put our fist in the air. We're prepared to fight it.
And build in love and show an attractive alternative to the rat race.
I mean, this country's got so much wealth. I mean, there's so many resources. And there's so many people that are willing to help. And there's so many creative and innovative minds around us. And there's so many brilliant artists and you know, strong athletes and minds and bodies around. I mean, it seems like when enough of them get together to start forming a solution, then it's automatically kind of hewn down and chopped away.
Yep.
And separated and dispersed.
Yep.
And just like they're doing here. They're taking everybody and they made five new camps that they're just going to spread everybody to and then chop them all down one at a time. And then
reduce their rights, reduce their property, reduce their business, reduce their relationships.
Let me ask you all one other question, because I feel this is something that people aren't talking enough about. But I feel like, you know, with everything going on with the housing crisis, the cost of everything going up, I feel like there isn't enough solidarity between those that are, you know, living in these encampments and those of us that are just a paycheck away from being in that similar situation. And there needs to be more understanding that we all need to kind of fight together.
For quite a while, fallen by the wayside, but we need to get those meetings started back up. We were zooming in, was it once a week or every other week? With
Solidarity Coalition.
Sacramento,
other encampments across the state.
North Bay, people all across the state that are going through the same thing that we are. Most of them are on Caltrans property.
That's one way, and the other way is that Wood Street was at the front lines of making an attractive space for people who in the housed community would never cross that line, started to come and eat with us, build with us, have music with us, and be friends and family together. And we have broken through that invisible barrier and show the way forward for just changing the narrative about who we are and making a way of life that is actually a real alternative.
Changing the language and not calling ourselves homeless, but calling ourselves unhoused residents, because we all are residents of Oakland, and it has to start with the people, you know, one, recognizing that the face of homelessness has changed. It's not the Vietnam vet anymore. Well, they're still out here with us, but we're a lot younger. We're probably like 18 to 50 or 60. And, you know, and so it takes like for folks to, for that communication barrier to be broken between us and for us to not, decriminalized,
yeah.
and then folks wouldn't be so scared of us.
Yep.
And they could actually come. I mean, one point that I make around here is there's a lot of businesses, and at night the business owners go home. But we don't. We live here, and we have a lot to say. If the graffitiers come up and they're spraying on a building, we could say, hey, stop that. That's Bill's business, and he's hella cool. Or we could go, oh, that's that asshole that always calls the cops on us because we're living here. Oh, well, what were you saying over there, John? You know what I'm saying? So, I mean, they could, and then also they could, by utilizing us, you know, and utilizing the skills that we have and not looking at us and not keeping away from us, that also empowers us, you know, and gets us back into earning our you know, income or whatever in this society.
Yeah.
And it gets us back on the good foot and remembering, you know what I mean? And that sparks something inside of us instead of, like, you know, standing in front of the store and giving the dollar to the hobo or whatever, right. You know? It's like, Lamonte might have a full-on hookup to do landscaping work. So you don't have to outsource from somebody from San Jose to do it, you know?
Yeah.
And then also now you broke down that barrier between, you know, the folks over here. Once people actually come here, and we are having a fundraiser, Christmas party.
December 10th.
On December 10th. And that's one way that the folks around the neighborhoods or just anybody who's curious on what goes on inside of an encampment, you're welcome to come down here for that. And once you do, you'll be like, oh my God, these people are awesome. Maybe I could learn something from them,
right.
You know, and maybe I could teach something to them. Yeah. And people that come and meet us, they don't leave. They keep coming back.
We have
really developed long time friends, and I just hate that a few of the bad apples are just the way that the media is putting us out there to the surrounding neighbors has put a bad taste in their mouth. But I really do welcome anyone, even in your own area, if you have an encampment, just go down and talk to folks, you know. I mean, to tell you the truth, we hate the people that start the fires and poop on the street. I mean, we don't like that shit either. You know what
I'm
saying?
We gotta clean it up. Yeah.
It's not like, and we're like, yeah, go ahead. So,
and if you just left your apartment and moved into your hatchback and are wondering where you're going to go next, you know,
come on down
and figure out, you know, what you're going to do with yourself, you know.
Yeah.
You know, Leger does prove a very important, she did bring up a very important piece that is missing throughout the rest of the encampment, and that's the visitors. You know, we sit at home and we watch the news and we tend to go with the popular consensus of what's going on. But, you know, we're not robots. So I think the visits are essential in breaking down, what's been said about a certain environment.
Yeah.
And so we have started doing events and parties, first to get to know our neighbors and our neighbors to get to know us.
Yeah.
I met a neighbor down the street and he gave me a job.
All right.
He turned me on to TaskRabbit.
Oh.
And had he not come down to speak to me, my confidence is kind of low when society is in concern because I've been shunned a lot. But when they come over here, you know, I have a little confidence with my brothers and sisters. They instill it in me. They don't know it, but, you know, they empower me.
Yep.
So when he came down, I was able to openly speak with him, and he needed some help. And those encounters are very important. So, yeah, we invite anybody into any encampment, wherever it may be.
Does anybody have any closing thoughts or anything else they want to say? If you want to talk about how people can support or follow the struggle, if you want to put that out there too.
If you want the real news, and not the fake news, it's Cobb on Wood, one word, at Instagram, and Wood Street Commons at Instagram, and woodstreetcommons.com. I've been updating that site like mad. So, Cobb on Wood, Wood Street Commons on Instagram and just the website, woodstreetcommons.com.
We also have a GoFundMe, which is Wood Street Commons General Fund.
And that goes to stuff like fleshing out our solar power infrastructure and
food
fire
that we'll
safety
be giving.
Yeah.
And making sure everything's working and safe around here.
And making lots of prints of paper materials for our court cases.
We also appreciate things like medical supplies and cleaning supplies and things like that, just because we don't have the utilities that are available to the people in the house community, so we kind of have to improvise a lot, and what people do for as far as water and alcohol pads and warmth, things like that, always go a long way, because like I said, we're still trying to figure it out.
We also just set up the free store from Cavon Woods, so if you have things that you'd like to get out of your home that are taking up clutter that are still usable.
Not the garbage.
usable items, clothes, tents, blankets, that kind of thing that are clean. We welcome you to bring them down here and make a difference on a hyper-local scale.
Hyper-local.
This has been the It's Going Down podcast. Check itsgoingdown.org for daily updates, columns, action reports, and news. Go to itsgoingdown.org/shop to support us. And follow us on all social media platforms. IGD, your daily resource for insurgent proletarian life.